Tommy Crawford, a woman, by the way, loves television, wants to make something good. She joins the writing staff of a sitcom where she's encouraged to be strong, independent, creative, and outspoken, to a point which one day she reaches.
You said not to hold back. If I thought you were lying, I would have kept my mouth shut.
No. No, you don't have a clue about how to keep your mouth shut.
Excuse me?
You beat everybody down until they see it your way, and when they don't, you get more combative.
I am not combative. Fine. Next time, I will just be docile like everyone else in this room.
There's no next time.
Are you firing me?
It's done.
The story of how she cracks the fall schedule on a new network with a program that is honest, moving, amusing, warm, and real, to a point, is the story of a film that premieres on HBO this weekend, Dancing in September. The film stars Nicole Ari Parker, Isaiah Washington, and Vaisala Shannon. The film's writer and director is Reggie Rock Bythewood, who joins us from our studios in Los Angeles. Mr. Bythewood, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And you're a former television writer, Different World, New York Undercover.
That's right.
And then the Spike Lee film, Get on the Bus.
Correct.
So are we to infer this is all what you've seen?
Well, you know, a lot of it is what I've seen. You know, I stress the word slightly autobiographical. Mm-hmm. But as well, you know, I've had the access to interview other executives, specifically African-American executives and other writers. And so it's sort of a culmination of a lot of people's experiences.
Mm-hmm. I got to ask, was it difficult for you to get this film produced, given some of your targets?
Well, you know, it was very challenging. I mean, I wanted to make it independently. Mm-hmm. So I didn't pitch this to studios and networks. What I did is I raised the money. We shot the film independently, and we had such a grueling schedule. We shot it in 23 days, and it really just killed all of us emotionally. But, you know, one of the great things that happened along the way is we got donations from other African-American TV writers and editors, and just sort of helped us bring this project in fruition. The hard part was, the long process of finding a distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a big challenge.
That's how you landed with HBO.
Yeah, correct.
Could we get you to tell us the story of this film?
Well, it's a love story set in the world of, you know, African-American sitcoms. A love story between, you know, two ambitious and, quite honestly, two very decent people who just have different politics. And because of their different politics, you know, it allows us to sort of get into the politics of the industry and you know, the issues that are sort of surrounding Black TV.
Mm-hmm. Tommy has an idea for a sitcom called Just Us.
Correct.
Which is patterned, and at the heart of that is a juvenile court judge who finally, the third time she sees a young man before, a young miscreant, decides the best solution is to adopt him.
Right.
Recognizes something decent in him.
Right. Exactly.
And so that's the idea that she wants to put on television.
Right.
Tommy does get her chance. A network executive, this is the character played by Isaiah Washington,
right,
at a new network, starting up network, decides that he likes her script and he meets Tommy over lunch.
Right.
So,
we think your show basically has a lot of potential.
Basically?
Mm-hmm. We just like an adjustment.
Oh. I'm listening.
Maurice, the kid who got adopted. We don't want him to have stolen the car.
So he's in court because...
Because he was riding in the passenger seat of the car, and he didn't know his friend stole it.
The reason for this adjustment?
We want him to be likable.
Oh, the likable thing.
Mm, I know. Most writers don't like that note. But the reality is no one wants to watch a show every week about a kid who could steal their ride.
Most of you executives completely miss the point. What people want is to watch something that touches their lives, and the only way to do that is to give them real characters dealing with real-life issues, not some diluted, watered-down, likable version of it.
You want real life? Watch the news.
It seems as if network executives these days have research that really almost minute by minute, is it even in 15-second increments, details how a focus group is reacting to the material?
Well, you know, focus groups, a lot of attention are placed on focus groups, you know. I mean, everything is just tested down to the minute detail of, mm-hmm, you know, how a certain character dresses and sometimes how they wear their hair. And so you know, it's a very interesting world because as a writer, your job and your instincts would say to approach it on a creative level. Mm-hmm. And quite often an executive will sort of look to approach it on a scientific level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thus, you know, causing a lot of the conflict between executives and writers.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bythewood, what do you think of that research? You've dealt with it a lot. Do you really think it genuinely reflects human viewpoints?
You know, I think all the research sucks unless it validates my point of view. So, you know, that's sort of how I think about it.
Well, I have to ask, have you ever had to make compromises? Well, I don't know if you ever have to make a compromise. Have you ever made compromises of the kind that you portray in this film?
Sometimes when you're on staff, your silence is sometimes a compromise. And, you know, sometimes in the room, it's always a battle because you don't know if, you know, you should pick your battles or not. It was very interesting because when I first started writing on New York Undercover, on paper, it was just sort of a great opportunity. It was a Latino lead and an African-American lead. And the mandate was that they were two cops that would never, through the course of this series, kill anyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
Dick Wolf was the producer, right?
Exactly.
The producer of Law & Order.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's not unrealistic that a cop will kind of go through their career without, you know, killing anyone. Yeah. So we sort of love that concept. And I got to say, after the 13th episode, the ratings just were not where they needed to be. And then sort of the mandate came down that, you know, they need to start killing people and we need to up the violence aspect and up the action aspect of it. And I didn't feel great about that, but I sort of went along with it and got into it like everyone else. And, you know, what it did is it really brought the ratings up. And it's you know, this is the thing that's interesting about it. We had more violence on the show, but now we had a wider audience, and you get conflicted because now you're actually able to sort of, you know, sort of say a message or take on different storylines that may not have been told on TV before. But on the other side, you're killing people left to right. And it's a very, you know, challenging and interesting dilemma. Do you hold on to the initial vision of the show and be content with, you know, a very, very small audience and eventually, you know, be canceled after the first season? Or do you allow the show to become more violent but reach a bigger audience? And everyone has to make their choice of where they draw the line. You know, I think that's what you see the characters do. One person will look at the choices that the characters make and say that they're unprincipled, and another person will look at that and say, well, that makes perfect sense that they made that decision.
You've given us a wonderful segue into one of the speeches from your film. Let's listen to the network executive, whose name is George Washington, giving a little speech to Tommy after her show has been dealt with by the network.
Okay.
Well, TV is not about whatever the hell Albie said. It's not about sending a message to your mama, portrayal awards. Hell, it's not even about being a damn artist. It is about delivering to the advertisers a certain demographic that they want to sell to. If a show cannot do that, it cannot stay on the air.
It sounds like they trained you well, George.
Well, I could walk in that building and go Malcolm X on them and be out of a damn job. Or I could be boycotting with the rest of the protesters and be on the outside looking in, and I don't think I can make much of a difference then.
What about the argument that if people want something different, just don't watch what's on the air? Make the people who provide programming move up. And the fact is, the kind of programming that's on the air now is of interest to, I was about to say tens, hundreds of millions of Americans.
There's certainly room for comedic shows. There's certainly room for over-the-top shows. And as well, you know, there should be, you know, a balance for more thought-provoking shows, more intellectual shows, more dramas. And not just for African Americans, by the way, Asians and Latinos. And so I think that, you know, TV would really live up to its full potential if it really reflected society from all points of views. And pressure needs to be put on networks. Pressure needs to be put on viewers. And if I did not think that I could make a difference, then I wouldn't be doing this.
Mr. Bythewood, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Reggie Rock Bythewood, who's the director of the film Dancing in September, opens on HBO this weekend.